past the hour, I think we'll get started with today's meeting. And as others join us, we'll try and fill them in on our point in the agenda at that point in time. So I just wanted to start off. I hope that you received the agenda today.
Joined.
I sent it about 20 or so minutes ago, just sort of a quick agenda that is a recap from what we were talking about last time, with some additional updates and progress steps for moving forward with our activities for the year. So to start off, we have our roll call, so I am just going to mention who I heard join the line, and then if there's someone I forgot to name, please just announce yourself, because I'm sure I missed a few people. But I know I think I heard Theta on the line, I heard Pat, I heard Debbie, I heard Chris, and I heard Gloria.
Colleen, I go.
Okay, great. Awesome. Thanks, Colleen. Okay, is there anyone else on the line that we missed? Okay. And Gloria, I don't know if you're able or willing to take some notes. I'm also taking some and doing a recording, but that will help us as we sort of have in the past just combine our two notes to make our minutes for next time.
I can do my best. I have my two grandchildren here, though, and I can't guarantee really good minutes.
No problem. I understand. Whatever you're able to jot down over the course of the hour is much appreciated.
Okay.
Okay. So in starting our call for the day, we did our roll call. Thank you to everyone for joining. I know we had some difficulty in scheduling our November call, but I'm glad we were able to get those who are on the line today to meet. And look forward to hopefully scheduling one more call before the new year. Our next item on our agenda is our round robin, and it's an opportunity for us to share a CLC event that may have happened recently, a webinar that you've attended, a fact of interest, and I'm happy to sort of start and lead off the conversation. The last time we met was prior to the presidential election, and whatever your political leanings or candidate you voted for, I think that this current election climate and presidential climate has made it even more important for the work that we're doing as a subcommittee and for cultural linguistic competence, especially pertaining to some of the grants that we're working on with Pennsylvania System of Care Partnership. So whether it be Healthy Transitions or our expansion and implementation grantees or Safe Schools, Healthy Students, we are seeing a plethora of sort of recent hate crimes and increased activity against youth of ethnic and minority backgrounds, different religious backgrounds, as well as our LGBTQ IA2S community. And so, and a lot of these events are being targeted against youth. And so if that's something that you want to share, and we've seen a lot of these events in the high schools of Pennsylvania recently, so if that's something you want to share, I wanted to bring that up sort of in the round robin to say that the work that we're doing is still very much needed and will be needed in this current political climate even more so, and that there may be potential for us to build out programming that can help us move forward in a more sort of welcoming and tolerant society in Pennsylvania. And how do we do that, and how do we promote that within sort of the mental and behavioral health care for youth and families in the Commonwealth? So I'll stop there and just see if others want to share their insight, perspective on either the, you know, the current affairs or a recent CLC event or webinar that you may have attended.
Kelsey, this is Pat, and hello, everybody.
I just want to thank you for bringing up that topic because I've been on a lot of calls recently and no one has mentioned anything. So I am very grateful that you have brought this up because we are seeing it in our schools at an increased level. And if there, I'm offering this to everyone on the call, if there's anything we can do, if something occurs that is in your community, please let us know and we will try and get the resources to you and to support you in whatever way we can. So thank you.
Thanks, Pat. Yeah, and that's really sort of why I raised this in our round robin discussion is to say we see these events at an increasing rate, but they're probably events that are you know systemic issues that are just bubbling to the surface now. And so as we move forward with our work as a subcommittee, maybe there are ways, especially with sort of the unknowns of a new administration, that we can build in content, resources, policy guidelines for our counties that really champion cultural linguistic competency, because it's really undetermined whether or not this is going to be a priority for future state and federal legislatures moving forward. So that, I guess, is kind of where I'm leaving it. But I think at the state level, at least right now, we are proceeding as we, you know, with as we have in the past, and as you know, championing the things that we know to be good work and the good work that our counties are already doing. And so I just wanted to sort of echo what Pat has said, in that you know we have resources available for people, and we're happy to heed the call when you guys need it or see that there's something we could be doing better to improve what's happening on the ground.
This is Gloria. This was discussed at my morning meeting quite in depth. Upshots were basically the country has tried to be politically correct in not stating certain terminology or language used. Now it's basically become a free-for-all. Nobody needs to be politically correct. The N-word is flying all over the place. The one, it was on a campus. It said, no N-girls allowed here, with two white girls standing in front giving the thumbs up. We're having a dialogue and discuss here in Crawford County that's what the meeting was about. So, yes, any materials that you currently have, if we have policy guidelines, I think it should be sent to all the counties as well as anything else. Helpful hints and tips is always greatly appreciated. If not, if it could come from the state down, some policy guidelines, I think that would be fantastic. Then you won't have to have 67 counties working on 67 policy guidelines that won't end up being the same. That's just my thought. If you're offering the help, I suggest that we take it.
Thank you. And further on in the agenda for today, I'm going to give you an update on some of the state-level work we're doing with the various bureaus and especially with OMSOS around CLC, and so maybe you know the work that we do as a subcommittee can be championed by that group as well, and our insights, specifically what you mentioned, Gloria, even about having these guidelines come from a more state level to trickle down, is something that I can take and report back. Are there others that have thoughts, whether it's about the, you know, politics, current affairs, or something else CLC related that they would like to share for today?
Hi, it's Chris. I also would like to thank you for bringing that, you know, that needs to be said up front probably a lot of times at a lot of meetings, that disclaimer, you know, because by example, I mean, that can go a long way if we're, you know, depending on your, you know, your own reactions in front of people. I mean, it's very, very important to, you know, certainly trauma-informed care dictates the same. To not act at all in dealing with protests and violence and re-traumatizing is essentially supporting that. So, you know, by our example, I think we would need to, you know, to do that. I just wanted to give a shout out to Colleen this morning. She gave us a great presentation to the BHARP counties and included a lot of cultural linguistic competency and outreach, and really you can tell, Colleen, that you walk the walk down there in York County with your folks, because it's woven into your entire conversation. So that was very good for our folks to hear, and hopefully we'll go a long way to springboard us into getting more local efforts organized around CLC and supporting folks.
Well, thanks, Chris. I appreciate you having me.
It was our pleasure.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for those comments and thoughts, Chris. It really is needed and helpful, and I think it's just important for us to be able to share our perspectives and to, at least from our end at the state level, to know that even in this changing climate, we still value the work that this subcommittee is doing. We're still going to keep doing it, and hopefully we can see it as a useful tool in bringing people together of different perspectives. So that leads us into our next agenda item, and that's on CLC pilot updates, so the pilot 2.0. We had a really great county collaborative call on Tuesday of this week, the 15th. Was anyone able to participate on that call that's on the line?
I was there.
Yeah, I attended as well. Yep, great job.
So I think that was Colleen and Pat speaking, and yes, it was great to have you both on the line. Colleen presented on the work that York is doing, which I'll touch on in a bit, and maybe Colleen can also provide some more technical details around that. But it was really good. It was an opportunity for Luzerne, York, and Crawford on our sort of main pilot counties. We also have Wayne County participating, but sort of in an ex officio status, to give an update on where they are with the pilot, and mostly just why they decided to participate in the pilot 2.0 project from each of their counties, and why it's important to invest in CLC. And we got some really great feedback and questions from those that were participating on the line. So I'm very encouraged by that. We will have them do another presentation at the conclusion of the pilot, which is set right now for January. That may move a little bit, or the actual date of implementation of their action items from their plans might shift, just given, you know, the holidays and everything can often set timelines back. But so far we're moving along in the right direction. One of the updates that I wanted to provide from that is we, for Luzerne County, we're going to be doing a staff training with them on December 16th that will touch on, I believe it's going to be two trainings, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, with groups of 40 people on two different topics. CLC topics that they are determining based on data they're collecting from an assessment that they are currently conducting with their staff and system youth and family partners. And so once those topics are determined, I will let you know. But the important note about this training on the 16th of December is it will be video recorded, filmed. And so we are hoping to – we will definitely make that available to all of our system of care counties for access in the future. Luzerne is hoping to use it to train people to train new staff that they bring on in the county. But we're not sure how we'll make that available based on our website hosting services. If we're able to, we hope that we can just have it as a embedded file or a link on the System of Care Partnership website, but we'll keep you posted on how that develops because those technical aspects I'm not too certain of just yet. And then the other pilot update I wanted to provide is around York's action item, which is a sort of CLC poverty simulation program. And Colleen, I'm sure you can speak to that more, but I just wanted to know if you had a date set for that because and if there was potential for others to come or attend or participate.
Yes, we have 3 dates set in January. Let me see if I can pull them up real quick. I can email them to you, like the mid-January, I think the 11th. Yeah, we can certainly make that available if people want to come and observe. It's not a problem.
Okay.
Yeah, it's at York College, and I can send you the specifics to the group.
Yeah, well, so if you send me the specifics, then I can forward that out to everyone. And really, yeah, it would just be, obviously, this isn't something where, you know, you can invite 10 people from your county for the other subcommittee members that are on the line right now. But I think it might be a great opportunity that as a subcommittee, if you are able to attend, we could coordinate for the sort of state-level CLC subcommittee to participate, which I think might be really awesome and a good way for us to support the work that you're doing in York.
Yeah, that would be great. I'd love to have.
Yeah, that would be great, Colleen. Thank you. I don't know if you'd consider inviting our state leadership and management team. Most of them, you know, live in the Harrisburg area or work in the Harrisburg area, they might appreciate the opportunity to experience something like that firsthand. I'm just saying think about it. I don't know if if that's something you could do, but if you could consider that, I'm sure they'd appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, for those that were on the call on Tuesday or those that are participating pilot counties, which right now Joe Kloss sends his regrets. He wasn't able to be on our call today, but I guess that's just you, Colleen. Is there anything that I missed around updates for the pilot 2.0?
I think you covered it. It was just everyone kind of giving their status, where they're at, as far as their implementation, and I think you hit it all.
Great, thanks. So that leads us into our next agenda item, which is the state training that I mentioned. So we, at the state level, OMSOS and some of the other bureaus are looking to sort of reconstitute an older CLC advisory committee that existed. Was doing really, really great work, meeting quite often in the late 90s, early 2000s, and somewhat trickled off.
Flooding.
Left.
And so we are trying to reconstitute that, and we somewhat have. We had one meeting in late September, and we're having another meeting on November 29th, but it's going to actually be a training that is facilitated by myself for state staff, and it'll be done through a webinar, closed tree webinar, and I sent you a meeting invite for that. It runs on November 29th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Please don't forward that on, but I wanted to extend that invitation to you as a subcommittee to be able to participate. It's actually some of the information is for those that are sort of veteran members of the committee, it's information you may have already heard in terms of CLC 101 foundations and the national class standards, which is the culturally and linguistically appropriate services standards. But we're going to have some activities, some worksheets that we're doing because it's a longer training that runs for 2 hours. And it might be really beneficial for not only those that are new to our subcommittee and to the state CLC work, but it could be really beneficial for some of our veteran members as well, because I think at least the activity sheets I'll have for that training will be new to you. So I just wanted to make sure that you received that meeting invite, and if there were any questions about the state training or what we're doing at the state level. Okay, well, I'm not hearing anything. If you didn't get the invite or want more information about the training, feel free to just send me an email, and I'll make sure that you get all of that information. Again, it's November 29th, which is a Tuesday after the Thanksgiving holiday, from 11 to 1. So next on our agenda is our calendar for the year, and I wanted to spend some time having a discussion around our county survey. So at our next meeting, we should potentially be going over the survey questions. We have the ones that we used from last year, but those may change based on our discussion today, because I wanted to ask you if you thought that we should have a theme for this year's survey. Should we ask the same question? You know, should the survey before was very general around types of CLC programming, but maybe we could make it something new and fresh this year by having it be a survey, again, you know, around 12 questions that tackles a specific theme of CLC or a specific current affairs theme. I don't know. I really wanted to sort of leave that open for your discussion. And then alongside with that is sort of the webinar series. We will have that kicking off in the spring. And I wanted to know if you wanted a theme for that this year, or if you had a specific – we usually have a keynote. Our first year we had Valerie Olds Dunbar and Jason Landau Goodman talk about their specific journey, CLC journeys in Pennsylvania, and especially for Jason, that was from the LGBTQ perspective, which was really great. And then last year, our sort of keynote was the mental health-friendly communities and from California, and looking at sort of our faith-based partnerships within the African-American community and other communities. So that's sort of where our broader discussion for today is around, should we have a theme for the county survey, and should we have a theme for the webinar series? And I mentioned them both at the same time just to say there could be some sort of overall theme for the spring where we connect those two around maybe one theme, but we could also have two themes. So I'm putting that all out there and allowing it for some discussion. What do people think?
Did you have potential speakers in mind for this series already, or?
I didn't. So I could potentially draft up a list, but if there were any topical areas that you sort of were leaning towards to have as a keynote, I could start to look for people. If you have people in mind, we can start there and see sort of what their area of expertise is and maybe build the theme around that. There's kind of multiple ways for us to sort of, you know, tackle this, but I'm turning to you guys to sort of inform where you'd like to start.
Hi, this is Pat. Gloria, I call on you to, like, maybe give us some direction from the call you had this morning with your group in Crawford County. What seems to be the primary themes that have risen to the top from your discussion this morning, if you can share that?
Mm, I tried hitting on the highlights. One of the biggest things was this always here? And like I said, now it's more correct to be in non-politically correct. A lot of the African Americans are being targeted. There was a case where one of our youth members is African American, and she was adopted by a family of Caucasians. And there is a case where she is still African American, but because she's with the white family, she's not necessarily seen as an African American. Another one, there was a minister from town whose son-in-law is African American. And there have been a lot of things going back and forth in their family about African Americans. And, oh, nobody met him because he's different. He's part of their family. So there is a lot of talk where even though they don't mean certain ones, it's still going on. The youth broke my heart, to be truthful.
Thank you, Gloria. I thank you for sharing that information because just from a personal perspective, that's what I've seen just in my community in the last 2 weeks. I've seen an increase in intolerance.
And just blatant calling names
to people in public that I didn't hear when I was growing up in the 60s, you know? So thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, the N-word is being used in, I mean, using it once is entirely way too much as far as I'm concerned, but man, it's just gone off the charts. And I cannot believe people are actually talking the way that they are talking, and they don't necessarily mind who they're saying it to. Facebook, apparently people are getting braver on Facebook because they don't see the other person or the other people can't see them. It's just, you know, was this always here and we were so focused on being politically correct? I'm just flabbergasted that our country has been that intolerant for that long that it's just spewing out of just about everybody. And I'm not saying everybody, that's taking it entirely way too far, but out of way more people than I thought were intolerant in this country.
Chelsea, this is Debbie. I was thinking, you know, as everybody was talking, we usually talk and try to teach what cultural competency is. And maybe we should not only teach that, but for those who are unjustly a victim of this, to try to help them to be able to respond correctly, because I think what happens is that now that's when violence comes in, because they don't want to be called this or that, or, and they shouldn't be, but the appropriate responses or how they should be able to handle it or where they should go. I think there should be something concerning that, because like I said, we teach what it looks like or what it should look like, but maybe we need to address some of the ways that we could direct people on how to handle that, especially I'm finding with my grandchildren who are only in first and second grade are coming home and talking about
things that they were not taught in home, which is very disturbing to me. And they learned it at school or on the school bus or someplace.
I think that is a totally awesome idea. And the youth that are being traumatized by that, even in the smaller communities where they were more accepted, I mean, it's happening in our rural community. And we are such a trauma-informed county as well as state that I think giving helpful responses would benefit them so very much. Excellent idea.
That's really, this is Pat, this is really encouraging because I think we could all use examples of how to respond because it affects us. It affects when we're within earshot or we're in a conversation with somebody else.
Great. Well, I've taken down notes around this, things to do with understanding the current state of political correctness, being able to develop resources that allow for youth and families to respond in a healthy way to unjust instances of racism or being victimized, traumatized, and then also tools for allyship, I think, is what we're talking about, and what that looks like in a healthy system of care. So I'll sort of transcribe that into our minutes and maybe see what I can find in terms of speakers, current experts out there that may be working towards this. One of the other things that we talked about previously, and I've actually had a few emails regarding it, so I think it might be worthy of following up as well with some potential speakers in this area, is around how social media is trauma reinforcing and potentially sort of our current flood of social media is really shifting the conversation and our healthy response to situations. So thank you, I guess, for those thoughts. I think that really does direct maybe our conversation around the webinar series and resources that we can provide in that area. And so I think a takeaway is just to develop a list of potential speakers for us to look at during our next meeting and be able to say, okay, well, you know, yes, this person sounds great, or maybe we need to find some additional speakers that really touch on this topic specifically. So I have written that down, and I'll take that as a task for next time. So then that shifts us to the other item under sort of our calendar activities for the coming few months is the county survey. And the theme, I don't necessarily know if what we talked about in terms of healthy ways to respond could be a theme for the county survey, but are there other thoughts on a way that we can sort of refresh or make the county survey this specifically, it's the CLC survey that we send out to county county coordinators, system care coordinators, that then goes on to youth, family, and system partners to get a better idea of the state of CLC in county. And so, if there are thoughts on how we can sort of refresh that for this year, that would be great to hear.
Chelsea, it's Debbie again. In Luzerne County, we have a lot of Hispanic population and undocumented immigrants. I know that's going to be a big issue depending on what happens. And so I don't know if that somehow a question could be on the survey concerning that.
Yeah, that's great. And really, that's perfect. Thank you for your contribution because this is exactly what we need. Is just sort of these ideas, and we'll try and incorporate them as best we can. So it's an opportunity for us to sort of have this free flow of ideas, and we'll see what comes of it. So, yes, I've written down increase of the Hispanic population in counties, potential around undocumented, a question potentially around undocumented immigrants and looking at that. Are there other ideas for, yeah, and that might be another way to think about this. If you don't necessarily have a theme idea to refresh the survey, what would be other things we should be asking about in light of our current affairs or what's going on in your county or things that you've talked about at the dinner table that you think we should ask this time around?
This is Pat again. I'd like to call on Chris. Chris, could you talk with your counties and your trauma experts? Maybe we could incorporate a few questions regarding how trauma relates to this in the questionnaire, in the survey.
Well, I think that's an excellent idea. I must apologize. I am back on the previous conversation. I get very despondent sometimes, and I don't keep up because when it's so raw right now, and so but it is all related to trauma. And I was trying to piece that together in my head, first off, the answer is yes, we should do that. There's actually a trauma question on the NOM survey that we've been trying to not duplicate some of those efforts. So maybe we could take a look at the NOM survey and see if there are, and I mean, it's pretty impersonal. I mean, it's an evaluation tool, but, the language that's there is decent. When you talk about asking a question about trauma and how it's impacted your life. And that's a resource that we all share. I guess that's what the theme of the second thing I'll say is, and that just a tidbit more about a message that we might portray, and that is, is this a good reason to get all of our social marketers together and talk about some sort of campaign in a unified way that takes a stand on any sort of any violence, violent responses, violence, and so I'm just thinking about that as well, that maybe this is a good unifying topic and certainly extremely timely around trauma and creating safe places for everybody to, and spaces for everybody to exist.
Well, thanks, Chris. I do think, that with everything there comes an action needed or a silver lining, hopefully, and with the suffering that you see happening, it's important that we step up, I think. And I would suggest possibly, Kelsey, that we connect with the state domestic violence organizations because they have a plethora of resources that we might be able to tap into as well regarding, how to deal with traumatic violence situations.
I mean, and that's sort of the overarching theme of what I think anyone that's working on trauma is doing, and that is trying to create safe environments for everybody. And at least the theories that our trainers are teaching us about are rooted in that. Trauma, if it continues or it's perpetrated in other ways in other ways in people's lives, for those that have been traumatized, we've done a terrible job. And that sort of attitude needs to permeate everywhere of creating safe environments for people, and to the point about finding ways to talk things and respond to people who don't react appropriately, I think is huge, because that continues to perpetuate the whole thing. So. I'm aside from the questions and making sure that we are including appropriate questions in the county surveys, I would just say maybe we really need to have a very focused campaign around this that comes from a lot of the families and youth and system partners involved. It's intolerable. It's just intolerable.
Absolutely. And that's why this subcommittee could really make a lot of change, make a lot of positive change, and I think it's very exciting that we have all of you on board with us.
So, and I'm thinking, too, that it might be really beneficial either in the webinar series. I think this is sort of circling back. These two are both under the same agenda item, but circling back to sort of the webinar series, to maybe have something, and maybe this is what we're starting to think about our theme for this year is actually more of the webinar series at least, is more of a trauma-based theme, but a conversation around historical trauma. We turn to current events, and I think there's just a lack of education around how historical trauma may be impacting our youth and families in seeking care and in their delivery of care. And so one example of that is, you know, we have the instances of obviously the Holocaust, the Japanese internment camps, and other examples of historical trauma that resonate intergenerationally. And being able to sort of raise some awareness around that, I think might be really beneficial for Pennsylvania counties. What do others think?
Well, I have my vote, of course. We're so involved with this. You know, a lot of the information we're learning about is just to only in a supportive way, Kelsey, what I say this is that the trauma resides in people physiologically. You know, reactions occur at the very cellular level of folks is what we're understanding, what we're being taught, you know, and generational trauma, when you figure you have no idea where it's coming from, well, they're finding clear connections to generational trauma, hereditarily, if you will. So I think that's, I would certainly support that.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think there's so many ways that this is now being talked about, but I think that there's a unique CLC perspective that could be brought to it.
Sure.
And I mean, we haven't done it before, so maybe it's timely. And then we have sort of something else that addresses the social media aspect of this, and then healthy, you know, then sort of either starting it off with or ending with healthy ways to respond.
So some practical, like a third part with practical guidelines, you know, here's how to respond.
Yeah, and maybe we can find some examples of things that counties are currently doing to help. You know, like I was going to ask you guys if there was anything going on with hotlines. We see that there are universities, especially because a lot of this increase in sort of these violent instances are happening on universities and in high schools. And so a lot of universities and high schools have created hotlines or an email account where you can report instances of racism or, you know, some type of traumatic event or violence. And so I wasn't sure if the counties had started to do that or if you saw that maybe in your local schools or local universities where we could call on that as examples of good work and sort of best practices.
Well, Kelsey, this is Pat. I know I think it's December 2nd. We're going to have a call with all the counties that currently are receiving currently receiving cooperative agreement expansion and implementation funds regarding, you know, their track ifs and their submission of their in-kind and their invoices, but we can carve out a time in that to have you on the call to ask for, solicit information from them and present what we're wanting to do this spring.
Yeah, that sounds good. If everyone else on the, you know, if as a subcommittee you guys think that this is
needed and timely. We also, you know, we don't want to be crafting solutions for things that people don't think are a problem. So that's also why it's important to hear your feedback. But I think from what Gloria has shared and Chris and Debbie that this is something that counties want to address. They just may not necessarily know how to do it and how to bridge the multiple perspectives and experiences that come to the table. Well, that said, I think I've captured this conversation for today. It's been really, really good. Just circling back to the county survey agenda item, I have what Debbie mentioned around a question that deals with our changing demographics and increasing Hispanic population, a question potentially on the experiences of undocumented immigrants. We have a question around, we want to potentially explore a question around trauma, but we want to look at resources that are available already in the NOM survey. Connect with some other organizations that might already have resources about asking good questions around incitement of violence, and there was a reference to the state domestic violence organization. There was also some good discussion around social marketing and sort of these current issues being a unifier for social marketing. And so I thought maybe we could have a question even in the county survey that looks at social marketing from this new perspective or from this different perspective, and potentially asking counties what type of information they see that reinforces potentially, you know, stereotypes on social media, or information that they would like to see to sort of combat stereotypes. There's just so many ways that we could potentially shape a social marketing question that could be really beneficial to counties. And at the most basic level, just kind of seeing where they get their information from, or if they find that there's certain, you know, that certain social media sites are more prejudiced than others. So, you know, do you find that you see more hateful things on Snapchat than you do on Facebook? And I think that could be really timely because of just everything that we're seeing in terms of how social media is shaping this conversation. There could be some really interesting information that comes from responses to that question. Okay, well, are there any last thoughts on the upcoming calendar activities of the county survey and the webinar series? Okay, well, then in our last few minutes for today's call, I just wanted to try and schedule our next meeting or last meeting for the year, if we can get one scheduled for December. But before that, I also just wanted to provide an update that last year we did a holiday newsletter where we sort of updated our counties on what we've been doing within CLC, and to provide some information on how to embrace the diversity of the holiday season. And so we will be doing that again this year, and I just sort of wanted to raise that to your attention, that to look for that in your inboxes, and, of course, to circulate it as widely as you see fit. But that should be a good thing coming to your inboxes in the next few weeks. So our meeting for December, potentially I'm looking at dates now, and it would be for either the week of December 12th or the week of December 19th, which might be getting you fairly close to the Christmas holiday. But what do people think? Is there a week that looks better for you in December?
This is Theta, and the week of December 12th is better for me.
We have a YFTI advisory board meeting on the 14th, and a lot of us travel there on the 13th.
Okay. How long does your – oh, because – and then on the 14th, you're probably traveling back at the end of the day, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Is the 12th too soon?
Yeah, I was just going to give that as a recommendation. Monday the 12th, what do people think about that?
Works for me.
Good for me.
What was that time again, Kathy?
It was December 12th, and I'm looking for a time right now. And I'm thinking it would probably be the afternoon, so I'm looking at my calendar, and we could do 1, 2, or 3.
1 is...
Yeah, I like 1.
Okay. So it looks like 1 o'clock on December 12th.
Good.
Great. So I will send out a calendar invite actually directly after this meeting, and you should have that in your inboxes. Again, December 29th from 11 to 1 is the meeting invite I just sent for the CLC statewide or state staff training for the CLC State Advisory Committee. Just going back to the agenda to make sure I didn't – nope, that was – so that's everything. Are there any other announcements that anyone has or – topics that we didn't get to discuss today that you'd like to bring up?
Thanks for the good conversation.
I concur. Thanks so much.
I agree as well.
I know I was quiet, but I was listening. Thanks.
Well, thank you, everyone. We really appreciate you joining. Today was really good conversation. I'm glad I actually recorded it because it's a good marker of our progress and where we're going. If you have any questions or concerns, again, things are moving forward on the ground in your local communities and you potentially could use CLC resources, please don't be afraid to reach out to me, to reach out to us at the state. As Kat said at the beginning of today's call, we are here to help in any way we can, and the only way we know to do that is by you drawing our attention to current issues that are happening in your communities. So thank you, and have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend.
Thanks, Beth.
Thanks, you too.
Thank
Happy
you.
Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye. Data friends.
Left.
Gloria.
Left.
Chris.
Left.